Brother Minnie's church where he pastors. They have their conference Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week. I'm scheduled to preach Sunday. Brother Ryan Austin will be here. John 21, we want to look at the entire chapter, but for time's sake, we'll just read the first four verses. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise, or after this manner, he showed himself, showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, which would be James and John, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, that is these six, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth, that is all seven, and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. This, of course, is a post-resurrection appearance of Christ, a post-resurrection event. The account begins with, after these things, you read those three words, and immediately you should ask, after what things? After these things. That, of course, has reference to Christ after his resurrection, appearing on two separate occasions to the apostles. The first was in John 20, verses 19 and 20, and was on the very evening of the resurrection. The second, John 20, 26, we see that a week later he appeared to the apostles. So now we read, after these things, Jesus showed himself again. That is, one more time or another time. Showed himself again to the disciples. We also read in verse 1, and on this wise, or after this manner, he's going to tell us the way that Jesus showed himself. This is now, and then we read in verse 14 of John 21, this is now the third time, we've already seen the other two, made reference to them, that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. In verse 1, we see twice Jesus showed himself. We see in verse 14, Jesus showed himself. That is, he made himself visible. He manifested and displayed his presence. He manifested and displayed his person. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that Jesus does so. Jesus showed he himself. And the last part of verse 1 for the sake of emphasis. That ought to always be our plea, that Jesus would show himself to us. So this is the third time. Now the first two that we read of or made reference to in John chapter 20, they both occurred in Jerusalem. But what takes place here, we see, is by the Sea of Tiberias, also known as the Sea of Galilee, which is about 60 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And the reason that the apostles made this trip from Jerusalem to Galilee because Jesus promised them back in Mark chapter 14, verse 28, he said, "But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." And also in Mark 16, verse 7, the angel said to the women that came to the empty tomb, "Go your way, tell the disciples that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him, as he said previously in Mark 14, unto you." So it's for this reason that we now find them in Galilee, because of the promise of Jesus Christ. Now in verse 2, we see we are told of seven of the apostles being together. Verse 3, we see that Simon Peter saith unto them, the other six, "I go a fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." They, the seven, went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Where the other four are, we do not know. And then we're told in verse 3, "And that night they caught nothing." Then in verse 4, we read, "but," a conjunction used to introduce something contrasting to what had already been mentioned. "That night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come." And it's beginning here that we see how Jesus, remember, after this manner he showed himself, it's beginning here that we see how it was that Jesus showed himself to these apostles. "But when the morning was now come." That's our subject tonight, the start of a new day. So important. We've preached many times, mentioned it many times. How you start a day is of the utmost importance. Does not bring any guarantees, but it is of the utmost importance. Now, there are several events that take place after verse 4, and these events teach us some principles. Principles that if we would implement into our life every day, it would change our lives. And it would be for His honor and for His glory. But before we consider these principles, again, consider what we read in verse 3. "That night." That night, they caught nothing. It was a night of futility. It was a night of ineffectiveness. It was a night of fatigue, frustration, perhaps disappointment. Sadly, many of God's people live in that night. And the morning never seems to come. That's where they live, that night. But it doesn't have to be that way, of course, because we read in verse 4, "But when the morning was now come." There's something hopeful in those words. There's something opportunistic in those words. "And when the morning was now come," it's the start of a new day. And the opportunity of that day begins with this. Jesus stood on the shore. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. He was nearby. Which, of course, gives us wonderful opportunity. I believe it's true every morning. Morning comes, And Jesus is nearby. The one in this case who had risen victorious over sin, death, and the grave stood on the shore. The one who was greater than the emptiness and the nothing of that night stood on the shore. So why was he there? Jesus stood on the shore. He could have walked on the water out to them. He did it before. But Jesus stood on the shore. He's there for them. He's there for them. And it is true still today. The morning comes. Jesus is nearby. And he is so for us. What an opportunity. He is there to right that night. That night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. He's there to right the night. Again, this is an opportunity for them. This presents a great possibility. Jesus stood on the shore. Great possibilities. Jesus is nearby. Brings us possibilities. It's true every day. It's true every single day. Not only was Jesus there, he called out to them. Verse 5 says, "Then Jesus said unto them." And notice how he addressed them. Children. Children. That, of course, is in the tone of great tenderness. There's a lot of patience in that title. There's love. There's concern. Children. Is he not reminding them that they are his? We need to be reminded that every morning, that we belong to the Lord. So when the morning was come, Jesus was there, and he spoke to them. What an opportunity! What a possibility! So again, we want to look at the events from that point on. What transpired, and gather some principles, 10 of them, that will help us at the start of a new day. You see, if we have a that night of nothing, the worst thing we can do is drag that nothing into the new morning. We do it all the time. And then we drag it into the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And before long, a life is past. But when the morning was now come, one of the first things we need to do every day is realize personal need. And if we pay attention to Jesus, if we listen to what he says, he points out to us our need. In verse 5, again, Jesus is on the shore. He asked them, "Children, have ye any meat? Have you caught anything?" Now, Jesus already knew. He already knew. Jesus does not ask questions for the sake of information. He knew that they had caught nothing. Well, what was he doing? He was bringing them to acknowledge and confess. We have nothing. We have nothing. Children, have ye any meat? That question was designed to bring home to them their futility through the night. And again, consider that some of these men had been professional fishermen. They had made their living by fishing. They had paid their bills through this, by this profession. They knew how to fish. They knew when to fish. They knew where to fish. Certainly they had the right equipment. And certainly they put forth the effort. They knew what they were doing when it came to fishing. Yet, in spite of all their skill, in spite of all their know-how, in spite of their equipment, they caught nothing. And Jesus asks this question to cause them to acknowledge, we are a needy people. We need to acknowledge that every single day. We need to acknowledge every single day that it is not dependent, that is, serving the Lord is not dependent upon my skill, it is not dependent upon my ability. The Lord gives skill, the Lord gives ability for His service, but it's, remember, He gives it, He can take it away also. Where it's not dependent upon our skill. So it's the realization, the acknowledgement, and the confession of what is stated in John 15, 4 and 5, without me ye can do nothing. We need to acknowledge that every single day. I am needy. I need the Lord. What we have planned for that day, we may have done 1,500 times, but we need the Lord. Doesn't matter how many times we've done it. It doesn't matter about our know-how. None of that really matters. We need the Lord. And that leads to the second principle. We need to hear the Lord's direction. Now, if we know that we need the Lord, we're more apt to listen to what He says. The reason a lot of folks do not listen to what God says is because they don't feel they need the Lord. So they listened, they heard the Lord's direction. Notice verse 6, and He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now, don't you think that through the night that they had already fished on that side of the ship, they probably cast their net on that side of the ship many times. It's not like, oh, wow, why didn't we think about casting the net on that side of the ship? I'm sure they had. I'm sure they had cast the net on that side. So we need to realize and acknowledge that no matter how much knowledge, no matter how much skill that we may have, and no matter how much effort we might be willing to put forth, the Lord is in control. And He knows. And He knows. And He knows where the fish are. Now notice that Christ's instruction was very plain. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. Well, Lord, what do you mean? It's very plain. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. The instruction is very plain. It's very straightforward. It's easily understood. And it's easily comprehended. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. So the Lord is on the shore. He's nearby. He gives instruction. The start of every day, we need to realize this is a new day. The Lord is nearby. I am needy. And He is going to tell me what to do. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. So we need to know that the Lord has instruction. Every day He's nearby, and every day He has instruction. Instruction to direct our paths. Instruction that will make a difference in our day. And when they cast the net on the right side, it did make a difference. It caught 153 fish. So at the start of a new day, it would be wise to seek God's direction. It would be wise to seek the direction of the Lord. So they heard, but it can't stop there. Thirdly, they obey the instruction of the Lord. Notice verse 6. They cast therefore. Therefore tells us why they cast. Why did they cast on the right side of the ship? Because the Lord told them to. They cast therefore. Now again, no doubt they had cast their net on that side earlier. And the result was they caught nothing. But now the Lord says, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And they, without any question, it's not for you and I to question God's direction. They, without any question, they, without any hesitation, they, without any attempt to enter into a discussion with the Lord about the instruction, they simply did what the Lord said. That'll make our day a lot easier. If we simply do what the Lord said. So that night, they caught nothing. The morning comes. Jesus says, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And the difference between the nothing and a full net was obedience to God's instruction. They simply obeyed what the Lord said. Now, what if they would have cast the net on the right side of the ship and still caught nothing? They still would have been doing the right thing because they were obeying the Lord. They were obeying the Lord. Then notice verse 6. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Remember that statement. They were not able to draw it. Seven men were not able to draw the net. Remember that. Because it comes into play a little bit later. So, they could not draw the net. So there's an abundance in following the Lord. So at the beginning of a new day, hear the Lord's instruction. Obey the instruction of the Lord, and that's based upon, I am needy. I am needy. So it would be wise for me to listen. And then fourthly, we need to recognize the Lord. Notice verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. The reason they knew was because of that voice. It is the Lord. And John said that to Peter, and of course, in a tone of great excitement. And then notice in verse 12, knowing that it was the Lord, the last statement of verse 12. So the Lord is nearby. The Lord gives direction. They obey. They recognize the Lord. They know it's Him. He's right there and they know it. It's very important. Then the result of that, verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, or about 100 yards, dragging the net with fishes. Six men dragging that net with fishes once they got to going to the shore. So knowing that it was Christ, they have a heart for Him. Peter swam the 100 yards. Peter's very impulsive. And he just jumps overboard, swims the 100 yards. The other six, they rowed the 100 yards. But whether it was Peter swimming or the other six rowing, what direction were they going? They were going in the direction of Jesus Christ. Why? They wanted to be near Him. They had a longing to be near Him. And they did whatever it took. Again, Peter thought the best way to do it was just jump up, jump into the water and start swimming. The other six thought it made more sense, well, we'll just row. But they're all moving in the direction of Christ. They're all desiring to be closer to Him. And it's a priority. Nothing else was getting in the way here. This is a priority. Jesus is there. We're here. We've got to get there. That was a priority. And it needs to be a priority every day that we seek to be near to the Lord. Sixthly, realize that the Lord has intentionally and deliberately made preparation for what you and I need today. Notice verse 9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals that might remind Peter of his denials, and fish laid thereon and bread. The fire had been prepared for them for the purpose of warmth and comfort. The fish and bread, of course, for their sustenance. God had for them what was sufficient, what was satisfying, what would sustain them. We have to realize that every single day. Jesus has what I need. Now notice there in verse 9, they saw. What did they see? They saw what the Lord had prepared for them. When did they see it? Did they see it 100 yards out? No. They saw it as they got closer to Christ. Again, they're moving in the direction of Christ. They get to Christ. And when they get to Christ, they see that they see what He has prepared for them. That's a wonderful day. You get near to Christ and you see that He already has preparation for your day. Fish and bread. That would probably remind them of His miraculous feeding of the multitudes. Fish and bread. Thank the Lord for His reminders of His miraculous provision in our lives. Then notice verse 10. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. It might remind them of another miraculous catch of fishes in Luke chapter 5. Again, thank God for His reminders of His miraculous provision. It strengthens us for the day. And then in verse 11, Simon Peter, all by himself, went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. Took six men to drag it before. And now Peter does it by himself. Being with Christ, seeing what Christ has provided, his strength has increased. He has now a sevenfold strength. A reminder of Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. They that wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. So we need to know and recognize that the Lord has provision for us. That in itself, before you even partake of the provision, gives you strength. Then in verse 12, Jesus said unto them, come and dine. So now there's an invitation. They see what God has provided. Now there is an invitation to partake of His provision, to partake of His refreshment and His fellowship. He didn't just say, eat. He didn't just say, dine. He said, come and dine. It was an invitation. It was an invitation to dine with Him. No better way to start a day than to dine with Jesus Christ, to come and partake of what He has provided and to partake of it with Him. Come and dine. Then in verses 15 through 17, Jesus asks Peter three times, lovest thou me? Three times. And three times Peter said, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest that I love thee. Three times Peter declared his love for the Lord. We ought to start every day telling the Lord that we love Him. We ought to start every day that way. Thou knowest that I love thee. Then also realize that you have a service to do. In verses 15 through 17, on the basis of Peter's love to Christ, Christ said to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. He was laying out his duty. But all these other things took place before this. He was laying out his duty. And everything must center around our duty to God. Everything. Doesn't matter what all the other things might be. Everything is to center around our duty to the Lord. And every day we have a duty to perform. And again, it's not dependent upon our skill, our ability. It's dependent upon Him, the strength that we draw from Him. So everything centers around this duty and everything becomes subservient to this. So at the start of every day, recognize duty to the Lord. And then, lastly, make the Lord your focus. Verse 19, this spake he, signifying, but what death, that's what we read in verse 18, he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. You see, it doesn't matter what way the Lord has already determined that we leave this life. That's not what matters. What matters is, follow me. Follow me. So he's told Peter how he would die. And then he said to Peter, follow me. Verse 22, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, verse 21, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, if I will that he does nothing. What is that to you? Here's your responsibility. Follow me. Well, what about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? And the Lord says, that doesn't concern you. If I don't have them do anything, if I just have them lounge around for the rest of their life, that does not concern you. What concerns you is, follow me. Focus upon me. If you're going to follow the Lord, you have to be looking at him. You have to observe him. You have to focus upon him. So this is a call to himself. Follow me. He's already said, come and dine, which was a call to himself. Now follow me. Again, a call to himself. It's a call to separation. If we're going to follow Christ, we've got to leave a lot of other things. Follow me. It's a call for Christ to have the preeminence. Again, everything else is subservient to this. Follow me. If you're going to fulfill your duty, follow me. Well, Lord, you want me to do such and such. How am I to do that? Follow me. That's always the answer. Always. 100% of the time. We get sidetracked with the questions. Because we don't believe. Because we want to do it some other way. And every single time, Jesus basically says, never mind the questions, follow me. Follow me. And it'll get done. Follow me. It's a call to commitment. It's a call, again, to focus upon Christ. It's a call to trust him. So at the start of a new day, focus upon Jesus Christ. Know how glad we ought to be for new days. For new days. God's given us many in our lifetimes. Most of us sitting here, we've had many new days. And many of those new days have been misused. God is so gracious. We misuse one, he gives us another. We misuse that one, he gives us another. And Jesus is on the shore. He's nearby. And oh, what an opportunity is ours for a new day. For a new day. So if we could incorporate the principles that we see here into every day, it would make a difference. And that'll also carry us through the night. Thank the Lord. But when the morning was now come. And there is a morning that is yet to come. And oh, what a glory that will be. A new life. There's the that night, but there's a new morning coming. And no matter what has transpired in your life today, good, bad, whatever, Lord willing, we'll awake tomorrow to a new morning. And when we do, that's new opportunity. That's new privileges, new possibilities. So all we ought to thank the Lord that He is so good to us. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us.